This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Another big 3 points on the road for Manchester United. Top of the table to you, lad. Feeling good, feeling fine indeed. They never made it easy for us at the cottage. Much harder than I remember last time we went down there with that 3-0 romp in 19. But great win on the road. Red Devils march on, sir. How you feeling?
Heart Attack City, Craven Cottage, you know, sounds like a real quaint place to play. Like you're going to get 4 goals. You're going to ride like we did when we saw them back in 19, sir. Nervy stuff, United. Go down early. We've seen this movie before, sir. We reviewed it. We've reviewed it, sir, on Rotten Tomatoes. Don't like going down early with this team. I will have to say after that, saw that grit. Bruno Fernandes right back in it, hits the post, gets Cavani his goal. I thought we would kick on for maybe three from there, and then it's turned out to be tough time. Second half, Pog boom. United hold on to a nervy 2-1, sir, but the title race with those fine margins, it's what it's all about. Need the new blood pressure medication ASAP.
Sir, I need to get a visit with my doctor because I'll tell you what, this team is stressing me out. Stakes have never been higher, and I'm enjoying every second of it. Like you said, it was a little bit of winning ugly, winning whatever it takes. You know, credit to Fulham. They did not make it easy for us. Defended well, super compact, pressed the hell out of us, really taking advantage of that small pitch at the cottage. But you got to give it to this United team, just never saying die, right? Hitting the post. Cavani with that. I thought that was the death of it, that header that with the goalie had that great save. But didn't roll, but the 3 points is all that matters. And we kick on to the weekend feeling good.
Sir, watching this team is not good for your health. I mean, Roy Keane said it, but top of the table, you know, I'm feeling good about that. You know, it's just during the match, it's just like really nervy. It's going to be a hell of a rest of the year. We're halfway through the season. We're top of the league, always at the wheel. You know, it's just, I wish we could have an easy one.
Ollie's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
I hate to say it, but this is part of the game, maybe. It's like this season, brick by brick, and you know it already. We're gonna cut right to it before we even get into the intro, sir. If we win this season, if we win the Premier League, it's going to go down to the last game of the season. We ain't winning this in April. It's like it will be decided against Wolves, last game, because that's just the way it's likely to be, because it's going to be a tight race, and the margins are close, like you talked about. And this Fulham game is just a great example of that. You drop these points, it changes things, but it's a huge win. It's a huge 3 points, and it just shows the resiliency and the, you know, the grit to eke it out when not playing perfect. We didn't play up to our level again and get another win, which is huge.
Certainly. I mean, you said it. You say it all the time on the pod. There's no easy match in the English Premier League. I think that could not be said more. And I also think that when you look at teams coming to play against United, this Fulham side also, you know, they're in the fight, relegation fight, but they're like Chelsea barely beat them. I mean, obviously Chelsea are drowning at the moment, but there's a lot of tough matches around the league, and you look around and it's kind of one of those things where who's going to draw points right now. City are rolling. We can get to the title race later, but you know, I think every game we're going to realize there's not easy ones like there used to be.
No, this league is super competitive. And also, the teams we're playing against the bottom, they got plenty to fight for, right? They got a $150 million check they're fighting for, and that means a lot. So the league is super competitive. Even Sheffield, right? We're playing them next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't remember which day. They're bottom of the league, and they weren't a rollover last time we played them either. So there are no easy games, but it's all about picking up those 3 points no matter what. High, medium, or low. You got to get them all. And it's beating these lower side teams. You know, these are points that we used to drop last season.
I'll tell you what, there is one easy fixture on the schedule. That's going to be Chelsea, as long as Super Frank's still managing, sir.
I think he might be sacked by the time we show up to Stamford Bridge, sir.
It's Sir, I love watching those Chelsea matches. Just after, like, you know, when you're top of the table, you can kick those feet up on the couch. You can sit back, relax, and watch a floundering side like Chelsea with Lampard driving that bus, sir, down the hill. And it's I even said it here on the pod.
We did.
You know, he was going to be one of the first to go from the top six. It looks like it. Super Frank, how you feeling?
I mean, I think they almost lost to Fulham. Credit to Fulham. We almost lost to Fulham, but obviously they've lost a lot more games recently. Hey, Super Frank, that's the problem. You give him $200 million and his stars don't turn out to be stars. Timo Werner, Kai Havertz turn out to be a bunch of duds.
They got
tough owners over at the bridge.
You know, we just have some friends that support that despicable club. So, you know, got to give some pot shots where they're due, sir. Let's jump into the PSA. If you like the podcast, the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. We have no sponsors, no special interests in this podcast, just two fans who love this team, giving you that biased perspective from the couch, which we all need these days because – apparently nobody likes United. It's always been Manchester United versus the world, and NBC Sports is a perfect example of that. If you want to support us, the best way to do that is Patreon. We have a Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Big shout out to Michael Martinez, who just became a Stretford End supporter. We really appreciate you. There's four tiers on our Patreon page. You can donate anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, everything in between. We think this is the best way for you, the fans, to support us generating independent fan content. This is where we want to go. We don't want to be hawking anything or any products. As much as I love to see Alex stumble through underwear ads on this podcast, I don't think that's for us. Also, check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. We have an amazing blog there. Alex is editor-in-chief. We also have a store. You can click on store. We're getting some new merch in there. Buy a scarf, buy a shirt. It goes a long way to keeping the lights on in the bunker. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
I'm going to tell you about iTunes reviews in a second. We got Glazer Out scarves back in stock at the store. Check it out, AmericanDevils.com. Click on our store. Get yourself a scarf. Glazer's out. Never forget that. $9.99, sir. The best deal in town. And you could also, a great way to support the podcast is writing a 5-star review on iTunes. It is one of the best ways for us to be found. If you do so, send a photo of the 5-star review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will ship you out some free stickers designed by the one and only Stanley Chow to you for no cost at all, because that's how much it means to us. Sir, what else we got?
So I'll tell you what, it's been a hell of a schedule. You know, I can't remember we weren't having midweek games. This is unbelievable. It's going to be a hell of a ride. Looking at the whole schedule this season, I don't think we actually like have any breaks until March. So this is going to be a hard run for United fans. Like, think about it. We're playing the Scouse Bastards and right back at it, Fulham. Then we're going right back at FA Cup, then Sheffield midweek. I mean, there is no rest for the weary. We got you here at the American Red Devils, sir. Give me that biased take from the couch.
And I love it because you know what? As United grows and grows up in status in the title, you know, in the race, we need to give a little credence to this club because, you know, especially in America, they ain't getting no respect. NBC Sports, I mean, they finally acknowledged it. I think we won the Fulham game, and the announcer said, always at the wheel, which is great.
But I know. Same old United.
Floundering at first.
Same old United, like, at halftime. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. So it's unbelievable. It's like they don't say the same thing about, you know what. So we could complain all goddamn day, but it's always been hated, adored, never ignored, sir. Manchester United versus the world.
You know what? Better for us. You know, it's us against the world. It makes us more of a community because everyone's got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder if they're not a United fan, either because they're jealous of our titles, jealous of our history, or jealous of all the players that have played for this great club. But you know what? It is one of a kind, the greatest club in the history of football, and I'm just proud to be a part of it. This great pod, you know, doing our thing, for fans, by fans, never sleeps.
Sir, they're peanut butter and jelly. We've won it all. Manchester United, sir. That's all I got to say. Let's jump into the match. Fulham 1, Manchester United 2 at the Cottage. Game week 19, that means it's the halfway point, sir. Let's get into that lineup. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net. Luke Schott, left back. Maguire, by center back pairing, is back in. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Pogba, Fred, midfield. I called that one. Love it. Martial on the left. Fernandez in the hole. Greenwood on the right. Cavani up top. Rashford gets some rest. I think it's because he didn't pass Cavani the ball.
Yeah, maybe. I like this 11. You know, it was a strong 11 from Ole, obviously showing intent, right, and taking this game very seriously. There are no small games in the Premier League. So I think it made sense to rush Rashford. He needed a blow for sure. Good to see Baye back in the mix. I like him with Maguire all day. You know, one's great in the air, one's great on the ground. And then Cavani back at the tip of that triangle or the front four, him and Bruno, whenever they play together, look pretty lights out. How do you feel about it, sir?
I love the lineup. I thought we would smash him. You know, you got Pogba in there. You got Bruno. Even Bruno's not getting a rest at Fulham. You know, that shows the respect that Ole has. It is a way. And then I wish we saw more out of Greenwood, sir. That's the one. You know, Martial, I'll give him time. But Greenwood's starting to get a little concerning out there on the right. You know, I thought he could do that job. And for some reason, you put Rashford there, he can't do it. You put Greenwood there, he can't do it. That's why you need to get your Glazers out scarf, sir, because Ole wanted a right winger. We have one coming, Amad Diallo, not even on the bench. Thought he might feature on the bench. He did not. We need a right winger.
I mean, before we get into this game, I'm less concerned about Greenwood than Martial. I mean, Greenwood's 19, Martial 25, 24. You know, he's got moved around quite a bit, but he wasn't terrific today. His holdup was okay, but certainly didn't take the most of his chances. You know, and I think Greenwood, give him time. He'll only get better. But you ready to hop into this game, or you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Sir, jump right in. First half, you got it.
So the game opened pretty wide open, sir. Fulham were coming out willing to press us. And unfortunately, it did not take too long in the fifth minute.
On Geisa. Oh, it's a good ball forward. And Lookman is in and scores. Perfect start for Fulham. 5 minutes on the clock. Such a perceptive through ball from On Geisa.
Ah, shit. That's never the way you want to start a game against a relegation fodder team. I feel like we keep doing it to ourselves, sir. Keep doing it to ourselves.
What a finish. I thought De Gea, you know, could have done a little better here. It was tight angle. And, you know, if he had his angles a little better, I don't think this one would have went in. To be fair, I haven't rewatched the replay a lot. So I could be being harsh there. You got to let me know.
I mean, there's no way it's one-on-one, you know. It's a good finish from Lookman, to be honest. It was a tight angle, but De Gea came up with a huge foot save in the second half that would redeem, you know, if this maybe was his fault. But the defense is like snoozing. Where are you at, defense?
True. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, where are you at? I think that's the first thing. But when I saw it, I thought, you know, if De Gea was wiser to the right angle, he might have done the save. But, yeah, Wan-Bissaka to blame. Aaron Wan-Bissaka fading a little bit. Maybe he needs some competition.
I think that could be a good idea. You know, it certainly lit a fire under Luke Shaw's ass, bringing in Telles. I also think he's just playing too much. You know, I think Shaw's gotten a blow, but like there's no blow for AWB because it really isn't that same rotation. I don't think Ole is as confident starting B-dubs at right back, whereas he knows Telles can offer some dangerous play going forward. So, you know, that would make sense as a pickup for the summer. We need probably a young right B to give AWB some pressure. Moving on from there, sir, there was a little bit after this 10th minute, there was a penalty shout for United with Fred. And then Pogba actually had a nice, good tactical foul after Fulham went on a break. What did you think about this Fred penalty shout? Anything in it, or was it a nothing burger?
Nothing burger. Double nothing burger with cheese.
There you go. On to the next one. 21st minute.
What do you think?
I mean, you know, I feel like we haven't gotten a penalty in a while, and you could argue that, like, yeah, that could have been a penalty. You know, obviously you weren't giving out penalties today, you know, just like that. So a little bit longer, 21st minute, Bruno hits the post with a zinging shot, sir. And didn't take long in the 21st minute.
Revisit in a moment. Here's Fernandez. Couldn't have come closer. Well, he's hardly been involved in the opening 20 minutes. But the first time he had the ball at his feet, he almost did significant damage. Here he is again, fizzing it in. And Cavani makes the most of it for 1-1. Cross too hot for Areola to handle. And Edinson Cavani pounces, and it's all square again.
So you can see how much it means Del Matador. I love these goals all day. I mean, a true poacher's goal. Obviously, the keeper bundles it a little bit, but he's right on it. You know, he was making an unbelievable movement all day. Cavani, you know, one of the players of the match for me. And, you know, he could have had a couple other chances in this game, but a huge goal to tie it up and just get United back into it.
No, absolutely. You love it from El Matador. And you want to talk about the mentality, the intensity Bruno Fernandes brings to the pitch, sir. As soon as we let in that goal, Bruno's all over the board. Hitting that post and the cross in. Dude, he just creates. But the only other person I really feel who matches that intensity, maybe it's just that they wear it on their sleeve, is Cavani. You see what the goal means to him. He's always fired up out there. Him and Bruno together, you love to see it. They come into a team. They're not timid at all, sir. They want to own it. Cavani wants to be our number 9 week in, week out. And like you said, poacher's goal, it looks easy, but Cavani's always sniffing danger near the net, and he finishes like nothing. And you love to see it from the Matador.
Sir, he's our starting number 9. There's nobody taking his job anytime soon that I can see. So as long as he's fit, doesn't have any suspensions from the FA, you know, he's going to be up front banging in those goals. Could have had a couple.
Sir, I mean, when we signed him, you called it. You were so pumped about Cavani coming into this club. I can't believe you called it.
Sir, I'm a numpty. I mean, clearly I know nothing. That's why I have a podcast, because I don't know a goddamn thing. But I, you know,
if you didn't hear it, Alex's Cavani take is a take for all time.
It's emotional. It's emotional. I'm not proud of it. But you know what? I was wrong. And I'm not Arlo White. I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I was certainly wrong. Cavani's proved me wrong. What a sign he is. What a veteran and what a work rate. Like, the guy, he's 33 and he won't stop moving around the pitch. His movement's unbelievable. And we got a bunch of young strikers. So, you know, he is turning out to be a great signing from Ole.
You're almost like the president of the Cavani fan club now.
Number one fan, El Matador. Sign me up, sir. I love Uruguay. So we're moving on with this match. 23rd minute, Bruno forced the keeper into another good save. United were really trying to push for that go-ahead goal. And then one of the big chances, 29th minute, Maguire misses. Like, I love you, Maguire, but it was a wide open header, free header, and it was way off. And there was no excuse, because Harry gets at least one of these a game, and this was as good as of a chance as you're going to get, and you have to get it on target. You don't have to score, but you have to get it on target. And just too many of these where it's just blazed wide, blazed over, and add this to the list.
I believe the phrase is, if I had a dollar.
You'd have a lot of dollars.
So if I had a dollar for every header that Maguire missed, I could buy Manchester United from the Glazers and we'd be in a completely different spot. That's what I say.
Yeah, maybe. I think you need he hasn't had that many chances, and you probably need $1,000 or $10,000 for every
$3 billion.
So I hope they sell. I hope they sell. That was basically like the last big chance of the half for either team, sir. What, you know, going into it, tied up, what do you think Ole was doing? Saying to the boys.
I don't think there was much to switch up. I really thought that, you know, we stick to the game plan. You know, we were getting our chances. We kind of faded. That was to be expected. But in these situations, when we've been able to peg a goal back, usually in the early second half, we're up for it. And I was surprised that Fulham kind of came out. They were much more dangerous after we came out at half.
And like you said, John, Fulham took it to United coming out of the second half. High press, and they were really trying to bring it to the boys. So 52nd minute, dangerous from Fulham, with a really good flash of a ball across that was really dangerous if anyone's at the end of it. Luckily, Mitrovic had not come in yet. 56 minute, great ball from Paul Pogba. Bruno was just off, and unfortunately shot it right at the keeper. So nothing doing there, sir. And then in the 65th minute, I looked for the Telemundo call. Don't exist, but this will have to do. Paul Pogba.
Whacking it for us. As he could, but the wind blows it back, and Pogba! What a stunning goal! Manchester United lead for the first time tonight. That a goal that could take them back to the top of the table, and it is a quite majestic strike.
Wow. Paul Pogba, Paul Pogba finally shows up for Manchester United. It's only a few years too late. Better late than never. is it a coincidence that we're getting the best out of Paul Pogba and we are seeing the best football Manchester United have played since Sir Alex Ferguson? Probably not. And this is part of it, sir. Pogba just giving you the Pog boom all day. He almost scored against Liverpool, got the winner there. He is in fine form. And credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. For everybody who had criticism of Ole, imagine dealing with Paul Pogba and then now getting the best out of him. Unbelievable from the manager to be able to navigate the agent banter, the dressing room, everything. And now Paul Pogba is playing like he wants to win the title for Manchester United before he leaves. You absolutely love to see it. I wish we saw it sooner.
Hey, I'd rather have it late than never, sir, as they say, because right now Paul Pogba is playing, like you said, the best football he's ever played for United, and United's playing some of the best football it's played in a long time. We've talked about that, so something to play for. I think he's got a bit between his teeth because we are going for a title, and it feels like, you know, the World Cup for him a couple summers ago. He knows what the objective is. It's very clear. It's within a grasp if we keep our shit together and keep pushing. And you have him kind of switched on. I mean, I wish I pulled up the interview after this match. You could tell it's like he is so focused on the goal at hand, and that's winning silverware.
No, and that's what you love to see. Everyone's saying, hey, where's the World Cup winning Paul Pogba? He is giving the interviews after the matches. He's saying all the right things. He's, you know, it's exactly what we've always wanted to see. And now he's might be leading this team to 21, sir. You never won a title. Paul Pogba needs to win that title. He'll sail off into the sunset like Frodo Baggins, baby.
I'll tell you what, there'll be no hard feelings. You bag 21, no. You got a nice transfer fee, or Pogba will be a legend. And like, you know, I said, right before the RB game and his agent was running his mouth and we ended up losing that game, I was pretty fired up, pretty pissed off at Pogba. But we've heard nothing from Raiola in 2 months now at this point. No, knock on wood, it could change tomorrow. But Pogba's been playing, his agent's kept his mouth shut, and you have to give credit to Ole for getting that all in line. Back into this match, 66th minute, Cavani could have iced the game with a great chance and a header, but the keeper came up with a massive save. I thought this was the game, sir. I thought we would call it 3-1, we rolling from there.
This one was so close. Cavani denied on the line. You know, I thought this was over. You get the goal from Pogba, immediately you were creating chances, sir. There had to be a breakthrough, right?
That's what I thought, but actually, you know, as it went, started going the other way, because in the 75th minute it was Dave's saves coming up with a huge foot save. I talked about it earlier, after we gave the ball away cheaply and let Fulham break on us, but huge from him. You know, he's good with his feet. 85th minute, finally a sub. I was screaming at Ole, come on, make the subs, break the subs. He finally brings in McTominay and Rashford for Martial and Greenwood in the 85th minute. Sir, what'd you think of that?
Too late from Ole. He likes these nervy games where he doesn't make the subs till late. I think you get the Pogba goal, you bring Modric on, you take Greenwood off, you put Pogba on the wing. That's obvious. You try to lock it down. You need someone to hold the ball so it doesn't ping pong all over the ground like it ended up doing. Better late than never. Brings on McTominay instead of Modric, and then Rashford obviously as well. Love to see Rashford have a run out. Again, I'm waiting for Rashford to realize and stop his time. He should take the ball to the corner. Doesn't like to do that. Doesn't like to do that. He likes to give it back to Fulham. That's kind of his thing. I don't know.
I mean, that was unbelievable. I don't even want to get into that.
I was like, Rashford, stop taking people on. Just go to the flag. Like, you're killing me.
I know. It's insane. Anyway, towards the end of the game, there were a couple late nervy moments. 86th minute, he almost gave the ball straight to Fulham. But De Gea came out well and just like booted it away. And then the 94th minute, Mitrovic almost gets a deflected goal off of Baye. It goes inches wide. Very close stuff. That was probably the closest late chance for Fulham. And that was basically...
Sure, this should have been a goal. I mean, this should have been an own goal. I mean, you can't gloss over this chance. I mean, we were absolutely dying, conceding corner after corner, ping pong, like crosses coming in, missing everybody. You know, this was one of the nerviest 10 minutes of football I've watched. It's against Fulham. You know they're going to come late, but I just thought we'd be a little more organized, sir. It's just this team, sir. I don't know if I'm going to live to see the 21st title if we have to win it like this.
Ben, don't break stuff, sir. I mean, this is a wicked deflection, but you're right. It was certainly nervy for those last 10 minutes, probably nervier than it needed to be. I would have brought Matic in, like you said, like 70th minute, and he never came on at all. Late sub, yeah, he did 95th, excuse me. He did come at 95th minute for Bruno right before the game was done and dusted. But that was basically it, sir. What'd you think?
It's called the garbage time sub. It's called the garbage time sub. Bruno, take your time. Matic, take your time. Don't rush. Look, It's a results-based business. Manchester United top. Love it.
What's not to like? Big win, ugly win against a team, you know, on paper, be like, you should be able to roll over Fulham, but they did not make it easy for us. We've seen their record recently. That, you know, they're hard to score against. And United do whatever it takes to get the win. That's all that matters. 3 points. On to the next one. Sheffield United, sir. Next game in the Premier League. They're not going to make it easy for us either.
Looking at the stats, Fulham had 38% of the ball to Manchester United, 62%. Shots, we had 15 to their 12. On target, 5-5. So Fulham, they did play well. They showed a lot of gumption coming at us in the second half. I did not expect that. Match reaction, no side has conceded more goals in the opening 5 minutes of the Premier League this season than Manchester United, who has four, sir. I mean, I hate doing it. I always tweet out that wake up gif, wake up, wake up. I mean, we should have had that queued up for this pod. you know, it's just like, how can you concede so early so many times? Manchester United have beaten their last 17 Premier League away games. They've won 13, drawn 4, equaling their longest ever unbeaten run on the road in top flight history, which was 17 between December 98 and September at 1999. Sir, good era for Manchester United. Edinson Cavani is the first Manchester United player to score each of their first four Premier League goals for the club in away matches. So Cavani setting records as well. He's doing great. And Manchester United are unbeaten in 13 Premier League games, the longest ongoing run in the competition. That is why we are top of the table. And Manchester United have won 94 Premier League matches after conceding the first goal, the most side of any in the competition's history. Don't call it a comeback, sir. And Manchester United have won 7 Premier League games, having gone behind this season. Only Newcastle in 01-02 and Manchester United themselves in 12-13 have done so more in a single campaign. So Newcastle had 10 and United had 9. So something tells me we're going to break that record if we end up winning the title.
Definitely.
Bruno Fernandes has gone 3 Premier League games without a goal or assist for the first time since his debut in February 2020. Bruno need a rest?
Ole doesn't think so. You know, he was asked about it yesterday and says he does not need a rest. He still had a huge influence. You know, he almost hit the post and then the Cavani chance, the Cavani goal, actually, that was his ball in. So he's such a huge influence.
To give him assist there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, fair is fair, but he's certainly having a huge influence. And the fact is, like, that's why you need multiple number 10s. So if Bruno isn't lights out, you have Paul Pogba stepping up. And that's why you need a deep bench with a lot of talented players. And you can't just rely on one person to be week in, week out supplier. You know, you need everybody coming in with goals. Rashford's been a little bit off. So Cavani's getting goals. Now we need other players to start contributing as well. We need Martial and Greenwood to chip in.
Something tells me Ole is a player's coach. And Bruno doesn't want to rest. So hopefully that's worked to date. But if Bruno does need rest and they disagree, that'd be interesting. Because I just think Bruno is going to always say he wants to play. And it's up to Ole to try to sit him down. I would have liked to try to see Donnie, where are you at, Donnie? Play 10 here.
I mean, he's going to start this weekend, I would think. I would hope he could rest Bruno for the weekend. I know we'd all like to win the FA Cup, but title is what we care about this year. You know, and we have enough school. Is that?
Dude, we're getting a double cheeseburger and fries. So we're winning the FA Cup, win the league.
There you go, sir. Take a double. Should we see what Ole has to say? There you go. Let's hear what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has to say.
Hi, Ole. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can do. Don't worry about that.
Fantastic. Sorry, I'll speak more quietly. Sorry. Congratulations. It could have been more comfortable. You'll know that. But is the mantra now just to win games, keep winning games?
Yeah, of course, you'd like a comfortable win at times, but it never is easy down here. And of course, going 1-0 down after such a short time, I think that's what we needed. We needed a wake-up call. It's never easy when you travel down here, stay in a hotel. We wanted to maybe have a light training session, but we couldn't move our bodies, so we needed that wake-up goal, really.
Paul looked very awake with that second goal. You've had so many negative questions about him. You're getting loads of positive ones now. Is this the fittest and most focused that we've seen, and you've seen, more importantly, Paul Pogba?
Yeah, I would like to say so, yeah. He's enjoying his football. He's happy. He's mentally very happy. He's physically in a very good shape. So, and we know all about his talent. Today we decided to play him in midfield, and it was worth it.
Thanks, Ollie.
Cheers.
Hi, Ollie. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ollie, you scored some fantastic goals in your time. Anything as good as the one Paul scored today?
No, I wouldn't think so, no. I had a couple of decent left-foot strikes, actually one in France against Lille, but I didn't have the 25-yard strikes in the top corner. No, I didn't. Great goal.
What a question. what do you take from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Certainly speaking highly of Paul Pogba, wouldn't be the only one. He is playing, like we talked about, the best football for Manchester United we've seen.
Certainly, Mr. Nice Guy wins the day again. He has not taken the bait from the media to talk smack about Paul Pogba during the ups and downs and everything in between. Him playing basketball on the gram in the United States, hanging out with Zidane in Abu Dhabi, having his scumbag agent, Riola, a.k.a. Jabba the Hutt, talking smack about him. I mean, absolutely brilliant from Ole, and people want to slate the guy. He might be learning on the job from the tactical perspective, but you know what? He has the aura of the club. He defends the players. He understands that the media should be tamed. It shouldn't be, you know, whipped into a frenzy like Mourinho or anything. Even Klopp does it a little bit. He's right on. They're not. That's why they ask him these softballs, because they know they're not going to get anything out of him. And that's a strategy in and of itself, sir. It allows the players to focus. And like you said, it's getting the best out of Paul Pogba. So I think Ole's man management, his management of the press can't be overlooked.
No, and his man management has been exquisite, because even when he was under pressure, and he's been under pressure a bunch of times, even this season, he has never thrown the players under the bus once. Not once, never complained that, never complained that I didn't see the effort. He always took it on the chin that it was, you know, he was responsible in some way. And I just want to compare that to who we talked about at the beginning of the pod, Super Frank. Dude, he is burning, he's dying. And he threw his players right under the bus because he's got nothing to lose. But Ole showing his character, showing that if you're going to manage this team of personalities, and there's a team of superstars now, that you need to have a soft touch with it. And he's shown that, you know, Mourinho couldn't handle this hot fire, and he's doing it. And he's juggling those fireballs, sir. He's juggling those fireballs, his team personalities.
Initially, as a fan, it's kind of boring, you know, because you're just like, why don't you slate Sanchez? Why don't you, like slate Pogba's agent? Why don't you, like, boot him out of the club when he's talking this way? And, like, but that's why we're not the manager of Manchester United. You know, it's like, because we're a bunch of Muppets sitting on the couch yelling at the TV, and Ole is trying to, like, get the best out of a player who he's probably been told by Ed Woodward he's not going anywhere. So Ole's going to keep his mouth shut and try to get Paul Pogba playing, and he is, and let the media do all the talking. So, you know, Ole's strength is the pressers. They're boring. I mean, like, I remember watching Mourinho, you were almost excited for the press conferences, like almost as much as the match, just because, like, he was going to start something. But it's kind of glad that circus is kind of gone for Manchester United, and we can focus on the results.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The pressers were more entertaining than the football at times. You know, just dull. And I like the pressers to be dull and the games to be exciting. So, you know, there's something to be said also about, like, you're giving Pogba something to play for now. You know, maybe that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't have to motivate a player with silverware. But you should. I mean, this is Manchester United.
He said it. For anyone who's listened to this podcast for longer than the last year, we've gone through the whole thesis of Paul Pogba. So we could write a research paper on him. We're like, money does not motivate the guy. It's silverware. He wants to win titles, and maybe he felt like he wasn't put in the position to win, but now he does, and hopefully he's going to do everything he can to win that trophy, because clearly money's no object to him.
And you know what? I like Paul Pogba right now because he's in cup mode. You know, I keep equating it to the World Cup. He just looks like dialed in, and he knows what the prize is, and the eyes are all focused on the prize, and that's title, and that's what he's going for, because it's never been within reach since he's been at the club. We've never had the tools to really have a go, and we actually do. We have the depth, we have the talent, and we have the record. Look at our last 12 months. We've gone unbeaten. I mean, it's like, it says something.
Let's check in with the table, sir. The best part of the podcast these days. First on the list, sir. Play that music. Da, 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 da. Manchester United 40 points after 19 played, clear by 2 points. On number two, Manchester City, who have played 18 games. So they have that game in hand. They're going to be playing, and they will go top by a point if they win it. Leicester City, they recently beat Chelsea. They look very good as well, 38 points for them, but behind City on goal difference. And the team will should not be named, 34 points. Again, they do play tomorrow. And then Tottenham, 33, Everton, 32, tied with West Ham. Then you get down to the Chelseas and the Southamptons and then the Arsenals. I'll tell you, there's never been a better looking table, dude. Every other fan eating their words. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, ladies and gentlemen.
They got very little to say, don't they? They got very little to say.
Liverpool's fighting for top four. Scouts Bastards fighting for top four.
And now we're halfway through. But it's, you know, it's going to be tight all the way to the end. Like I said, I mean, if we win it, it's going to be, I think it'll be decided on the last day. The last day, because that's how it's felt leading up to it. And it certainly feels like it'll stay tight. I don't think it'll be four teams. I think it'll be two or three. But it's going to be nervy.
Sir, there's always a next match, and we have one coming fast and furious. That is right. Manchester United versus the team who should not be named, a.k.a. the Scouse Bastards, a.k.a. sir, the Bin Dippers, like you coined them on the last podcast. We have them the FA Cup fourth round, Sunday, January 24th, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, sir. Love these kickoff times. Schedule's kind to us lately. No 4:30s. Love it.
Bin Dippers is one of the great slaty nicknames of all time. Just garbage eaters. That's what it translates to in American English. Garbage eaters. Yes.
Sir.
Can't wait to beat them.
Thank you for defining that.
Sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
In the dictionary, is there anything else that the definition includes?
No. We'll save that for later. Save that for the Patreon pod.
All right. Lifetime versus Liverpool, we've won 88, drawn 68. One of them was this past weekend, and we've lost 77. First time we ever played them was April 28th, 1894. Liverpool, I mean, God damn it. Timo should not be named versus Newton Heath. We lost 2-0 in a friendly. Coming in, we talked about their strength of schedule, sir. They lost to Southampton, beat Villa in the FA Cup. Most recently, drew to us. Not playing well. They have Burnley the Builders tomorrow. That will be a game that we will want to watch just to kind of keep tabs on our rivals for the title, although now I don't think they're number one rival. Burnley is dangerous. That is going to be a tough fixture for them. And then obviously we have the FA Cup Sunday. So it's going to be a tight turnaround from them. They're not playing well. I love this game. Unfortunately, there's probably going to be a lot of rotation. Ole, I hope for rotation, but I don't think Ole is going to rotate a lot because he wants to beat him.
No, he certainly wants to beat him. He wants to beat Klopp. I can't blame him for wanting to do that. But we got to rotate because the games after this just like keep coming, and they're all Premier League games. No, he probably will. But maybe you rest Pogba, but you got to rest somebody because you also have players that are ready to play. Like Donny is ready for a start. Mata could use some game time. It just, you know, I think we have a relatively deep bench, and that's when you dip into it is for the FA Cup, right? I mean, If no other time, well, maybe the Europa League, but why not?
Some insights on this matchup. After winning seven consecutive FA Cup ties against Liverpool between 1948 and 1999, Manchester United have lost two of their last three against the Reds in the competition. So most recently, they have had our number. And the Scouse Bastards have been eliminated from the FA Cup by Manchester United more than any other opponent in the competition's history, which is nine, including final defeat, sir. And Manchester United are beating their last seven home games against the Scouse Bastards in all competitions that we've won three, drawn four since a 0-3 loss in March 2014. They last had a longer unbeaten run against the team will should not be named at Old Trafford between 1990 and 2000, which was 12 games. So we have a good record in our house. We're playing at Old Trafford. We have the wind at our sails. And since a 1-1 draw with West Ham in the 15-16 quarterfinal, Manchester United have won their last seven FA Cup home games without conceding a single goal. We've got to hope for that again. And the Scouse Bastards have only reached the FA Cup fifth round in one of manager Jurgen Klopp's five previous seasons at the club,
wow,
doing so last term before being eliminated by Chelsea. Interesting storylines coming in, sir. Obviously, big rival in the FA Cup. The question I have, it's kind of one of those, you know, they're playing poker. Who's going to play the real players? Obviously, we know there's lost injuries for the Scouse Bastards. Ole probably should rotate. But given it's a big rival and it is the FA Cup, sir, you have to think that, you know, we're going to go for it, right? I think Klopp might rotate, just to be cheeky.
I mean, I think he might rotate because he has to. I think Ole might rotate because it's the smart thing to do. But we have pretty decent depth. You know, you can rotate a fair amount and still have a pretty strong 11 to go against the Scouse Bastards. I thought that stat was interesting about Klopp only making it into the fifth round once. You think that's because, you know, they're bottlers, or you think that's because they prioritize the league?
I think they were prioritizing the league and the Champions League. Right. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. Manchester United last won the FA Cup under LVG, who everyone knows, as legend is told, was sacked shortly after he won the FA Cup. We beat Crystal Palace 2-1 with Alan Pardew doing that famous jig on the sideline. And then Wayne Rooney won the man of the match there. So shout out to Waza, recently retired. But again, that's the last time we lifted the FA Cup, and feel a lot better about Manchester United these days. So why not lift the FA Cup?
Exactly. He got the Ed Woodward special, sir, which is like, you win a piece of silverware, you get sacked in the morning. You're out. Here's your pay package. And I'll tell you what, LVG's been spending every single minute just slating Manchester United for the last 6 years.
Sir, imagine getting paid that much money and slating your boss. What a riot. If Manchester United win, it's on to the fifth round. The draw was already completed, so we would play the winner of West Ham versus Doncaster Rovers, sir. So, and that would be played on the February 8th or the 11th.
So there you go. No break. I think that would be midweek again. So these games just never stop.
It would be midweek again, and then you're obviously, I don't think Doncaster Rovers, haven't really watched them too much this season. big Doncaster Rovers fan, sir. In my spare time with the baby and everything, I'm watching Doncaster highlights. I would think we'd be going against David Moyes. West Ham playing well. Another tricky fixture. And like, as we've seen in the past, like these cup competitions, we always get these tough draws. And we get semifinal, probably is kind of where we end up.
So this feels like a great chance for Ole to like go for a complete change up 11 that you could run in the Europa League as well. You know, we have basically our starting 11 in the Premier League, give or take, depending on who we're playing against, you know, whether it's top team or a bottom team, and with that midfield moving around a little bit. But he needs to switch it up because we're going to have those Europa League games, the FA Cup. You can't keep riding that same 11 or the same 9-8 that we've been seeing over and over. Like, Bruno needs a break. Pogba needs a break. Obviously, Marcus is ready to start now. But you think Harry might need a break. AWB needs a break. So, you know, I would like to see quite a bit of rotation, but you alluded to it. We might not. No,
Ole doesn't do that. Ole, I would think that this is pretty much a punt for both clubs because we're focused on the league. But Ole, you know, credit to him. He has gone after every cup competition, like almost full strength. I would expect to see something similar to what we saw against Fulham. Jumping to physio room injuries, Rojo, he's going to Argentina. The word is he's out. Palestri on the rebound from COVID-19. Shout out to Facundo. B-Dubs has a knock. He's a maybe. And then Phil Jones cashing those checks, sir. Given that is injury, the latest on the injuries, what is your lineup?
All right, this is who I got. Hendo and net. B-Dubs is hurt, so I'm going to do AWB, Twanzebe, Lindelof, and Telles. I'm going to do a midfield of Matic, McTominay, and Donny van de Beek, and then a front three of Mata, Cavani, and Rashford. So I'm going to put Donny 10, Cavani up front, Rashford on the left, Mata on the right.
All right, I'm going to say Hendo and net. I think B-Dubs comes back from that knock. I'll put him at right back. I'm going to put Twanzebe, Maguire together with Telles. I'm going to say it's going to be the Fred McTominay midfield. They're going to run the show. They did such a good job against Liverpool. You could say I think they did great, like basically playing defensively. And then I'm going to put Donny van de Beek at number 10, Martial on the left, Cavani up top, and I'm putting Rashford on the right. I think you got to – as a solid back line, you got the midfield too to do all the work, and I really want to go at the Scouse Bastards. I want to win this match, sir. It's at home.
Come on. And you want to win against Klopp, and you know, sorry, I might like your 11 more than I like my 11. You know, it gives gives Bruno a rest, gives Pogba a rest. This guy, you always got complaints about my life.
Rival in the FA Cup. Come on, man.
We got Sheffield. We're going for the league, sir. We're going for the league.
Sandbag City over here. Give this guy some more sand.
Salty. I'm salty.
Sandbags over here.
Speaking of sandbag, what are the bookies thinking, sir?
They got it right down the middle, plus 150 for United, plus 150 for Liverpool, plus 240 for the draw. Oh, have the odds have changed. Well, disrespect on Manchester United because it's our house and they're just putting it split down the middle. Haven't seen that in a long time. Top goal scorers for United, Fernandez plus 550, Cavani plus 600, Rashford plus 600, Martial plus 650, Greenwood plus 750, sir. Given those are the bookies' odds, they got it pretty even. What's your score prediction?
Sir, I'm calling 1-0 penalty. VIR penalties, salty Liverpool fans, and Rashford takes it because Bruno's on the bench getting some Z's, getting some rest. United roll on to the fifth round. What do you got?
I'm going to say Manchester United win 4-1. Ole takes off the shackles. We actually play him blow for blow. We absolutely murder Liverpool. We score three. They get a goal, and then we just put another one past them, sir. I bet you they're going to put who's their backup keeper in. I forget that guy's name. I think Klopp goes full rotation. We play a really solid team. We murder them, and then Klopp just like complains about the congestion of fixtures in the English Premier League. Something like that. Big Klopp complaining, maybe about VAR. Who knows? But I definitely think United are due to just absolutely murk them because they're on the fences. And I think Klopp will see the excuse is to just rotate. So then he has that as the excuse and then get everyone ready for the title race. I think this is like super troll Klopp here.
I hope from that last match, I think United is doing themselves a disservice by giving too much credit to Liverpool. You got to go at them and just like take it to them instead of sitting back and trying to counter them, because I think we're good enough to break them down. And hopefully Ole does that. We'll see, sir. We will see.
United in the news. Sir, we got some news here for you, the American Red Devils. We are signing Neymar from PSG. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm good.
As everyone knows, it's the January transfer window and there's not any transfer news. Manchester United are broke. A lot of bogus rumors out there on the Twitterverse. Be careful what you read. We do not have the cash to complete these signings unless we name Old Trafford. What?
Maui Jim Stadium, and we're good on that.
Maui Jim Stadium. Or the American Red Devil Stadium, sir. We just need to raise $100 million on Patreon, and then we can have the naming rights. What do you say? Everyone, subscribe.
Sign up now.
First article here, Daily Mail, sir. You pick these. Patrice Evra hits out at Liverpool fans for their lack of class and respect over Luis Suarez's racism case as he shares apology letter sent to him by Red CEO Peter Moore. On same day, Manchester United faced bitter rivals at Anfield. For everyone who doesn't know, Suarez used some language similar to what Cavani did, but in a negative way on the pitch, allegedly. Basically, there was no audio tape. I believe Evra. I know it was vicious. I know Suarez, he bites people. He was definitely racist to Evra. I couldn't believe this one because it was in 2011, and then Liverpool basically backed Suarez. They all wore the Suarez t-shirts as far as unity goes, defending his racist language and abuse on the pitch. And the most stunning thing of all was when they came to Old Trafford to play us and Luis Suarez was lining up and he didn't shake Patrice Evra's hand, showing you the type of player he was. And you know what I said? That's a Liverpool player right there.
A true scout, sir. That's why I included this, because you know what? That's why you need the mail, because I tell you what, NBC Sports aren't talking about this, but it should be talked about. It's only 10 years ago, and it's a pretty ugly chapter, and they took the low road. I mean, Liverpool played it like the worst way possible. But Patrice the Beast getting snubbed in the handshake. We win the game, win the league, but it's just a low-class look from a low-class club, sir.
Yeah, and it was like, why do you – it's like almost they thought defending Suarez would make him stay, I think, was kind of the idea, because he was kind of wanting away. Obviously, we know he went to Barcelona. They kind of sold their soul, and this is one of those things where you said it best. It gets painted over very easily. To his credit, Jamie Carragher – that's right, the "you never won a title," Jamie Carragher, he did apologize for it. When him and Everett did Monday Night Football on Sky, he said it was the wrong thing to do. He came out, and apparently the Liverpool CEO did apologize to Everett. But I do understand that the club, Liverpool, should probably have done more to acknowledge and apologize, especially when players are taking a knee and everything that's gone on in football. It seems like the Luis Suarez incident is never discussed, and it's kind of been brushed over.
Well, that's another reason, you know, I want to bring all the fans of the American Devils up to date, sir. A little bit old news, you know, a little bit of slow news week. Transfers are all bogus.
You just want to hate on the Scouse Bastards. So any Scouse Bastards hate is welcome here in the news section, sir. So if you got any other updates, please include them in the future. Next bit of news, Boca Juniors close to signing Marcus Rojo as Argentine defender looks to return to his native country after falling down Manchester United's pecking order. I was always a fan of Rojo. He's going back. There's always deals. He went back to Argentina last season, and apparently Boca Juniors might be signing him. Either way, his deal's done in, you know, 6 months. So good on Marcus Rojo. Get some more tattoos in Argentina. Great player.
I mean, smell you later. Thanks for the memories. We're not going to get a transfer fee out of this one, so I don't know what Ed Woodward's haggling over. Haggling over something, but wish him all the best of luck. Obviously, we're not renewing his contract. Always good for a red card. Two feet up. Studs out, sir.
Argentina tackle. I rate him. I like Rojo. He's tough as nails, sir. We played football in Argentina. We know how they play. They go in hard, and I like that. You just like Baye, you know? He was kind of couldn't put it all together right in the center back position, but I think at left back, he could do a job. Next bit of news, UEFA wants to scrap 12-nation Euro 2020 plans and host tournament in one country because of COVID-19 fears, claims Karl-Heinz, not even going to try that last name, with final decision set to be made in March. Obviously, this has nothing to do with Manchester United. It does in the way where, obviously, players from United are going to be featuring. I didn't even know they were playing to hold it in 12 nations. Clearly they shouldn't with COVID. I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer, right?
I mean, sir, I included this because I just wanted you to remind you that there's a summer tournament that they're planning on jamming in before the 21-22 season. So it doesn't look like these players are getting a rest anytime soon.
And I'll remind you, there's the World Cup in the winter, sir, as well. And that is good. I mean,
is that next winter? Is that like a year from now?
I don't know. I would think so. It'd be in 22, winter of 22, not winter of 21, winter of 22. So not this season, not next season, mid the next season. That's 22-23, middle of that season is what I believe.
Got it.
It should have been the summer of 22, but it's going to be the winter of 22.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, how long this season takes to finish, right? Because everything's still, games are getting pushed, games are getting moved. You got to wrap everything up before you can even get to a European tournament. So, you know, I would imagine a lot of this is going to be flushed out, like, right before the summer, as they know when the season's going to end definitively.
So, sir, I just Googled it. That is correct. November 21st, 2022 to December 18th, 2022. World Cup in the middle of the season. You can believe it.
Can't wait. Can't. I mean,
sir, it's not in the summer. You got to have the World Cup.
No, I was just kidding.
It's like Brazil. Like,
you wanted me to go on a tangent about why Qatar should not have the World Cup? I mean, we could do a whole pod on that, sir. But there's many reasons that they should not be hosting it. And one of the reasons is it's 140 fucking 5 degrees in the summer. And it's like, what, 108 in the winter? So it's madness. It's like the size. I mean, don't get me started. Qatar shouldn't host the World Cup.
They were going to invent fake clouds, and they didn't do that.
They didn't.
So, you know, that was one of those things where you, like, whenever they pitch the World Cup bid, you're like, in 2012, you're like, yeah, we're going to have fake clouds by 2022. Here's 2022. We just got, like, iPhone 11. That's it. You know, it's like, there's no fake clouds.
Yeah, no fake clouds.
We only got the PlayStation 5. It's like, you know, come on. It's like,
there's no hover cars. There's just like, yeah, the dome with some AC, and that's about it.
All right, jumping into fan questions. Thank you for all the hot banter on Twitter. We really appreciate all the feedback, all the jokes, and everything in between. First tweet here, at Burkett Mets. He did a fan poll in reply. Question is, will Paul Pogba stay if United win silverware? Sirs, please offer your opinion. Sir, what is your opinion? If will Paul Pogba stay if we win silverware? And then I'll give you the results of the survey.
I mean, no. I mean, I don't think he will, and I don't think he should, because you know, he's a little too. If it works out this season and we can win a title, and he's a big part of that, all the better. But it's he's made it very clear that he wants to leave. He wants to move on to the next challenge. So whatever happens, Paul Pogba should leave this summer. That's my opinion.
I'm gonna go super ESPN here and just give you the opposite answer for the sake of doing so and pretend to really mean it.
Okay.
I'm gonna say
give it to me.
I'm gonna say there's only one condition he can stay. I'm like you, I say no. And I don't want him to stay. But if he did stay, he's gotta get rid of his agent. That'd be the mandate. It'd be like it's up to Paul Pogba. And so while I romanticize about Cristiano Ronaldo coming back to Manchester United, I would romanticize the fact that Paul Pogba winning the EPL title and wanting to stay at United, but I know he doesn't. I know that he's probably more motivated by trying to put a positive stamp on his time here before leaving, and Manchester United will get paid. He's got another year. We extended his contract. So it's kind of a win-win-win. If he wins the league, we sell him for more money, and he gets to go on, and we get rid of the job of the hut. So I think he should go.
And no hard feelings. Like, United fans are not going to begrudge him for leaving. We get our title. We'll get a little cash in the bank. We already signed his replacement. He's on the bench waiting. And we can just spend that money elsewhere.
But the scenario is he might, if we play really well, why leave? Because you're doing well in England. And then, but the caveat is Ole, they have to get rid of that agent, you know, so you can't have him anymore.
So that answer was too smart to be on ESPN, because that is the right answer. They would never say that, but because it's right. It's like you keep him only if he gets rid of his shitbag agent.
So does like ESPN cover football, sir? They cover Manchester United?
They pretend to. They pretend to. They speaking of knobs, sir, we can talk about NBC Sports, ESPN FC. Ah, yikes.
Oh, yikes. Love it. At Michael Magalis, quote, pedestrian performance, 3 points. Most importantly, Pogba's undroppable. Who do you prefer in a best 11, Fred or Scott with Pogba?
I mean, I would like to see Fred and Scott behind Pogba, right? Kind of unleash the way he's unleashed with Bruno. So we never saw, I don't think I remember seeing him play next to Fred versus Scott. He usually plays with Matic. So I thought Matic would have offered a little bit in this game. Pogba played great. Fred at times, you know, we needed that killer pass, didn't really have it. But I guess it depends. You know, Pogba, undroppable, maybe. I think you could drop him, maybe rest him for midweek next week. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, I would say it's Matic. But, you know, again, I probably rate – it's almost like right now it'd be Fred, but hopefully in another season it'd be Scott, right? Because I think Scott's going to get there, and he'll probably eclipse Fred. But right now, Fred's the man to put next to Pogba. At JDW300, quote, I want Pogba to keep proving me wrong. I'd written him off. Want him to go back to Juve. Done deal. Prove me wrong. Make me eat my tweets on a platter. Yum, yum, yum. When he is consistent and wants to play, he's a top 10 center midfielder in the world easily. Oh, Cavani and Bailly start, period, every game. What do you think about that comment? I think it was, I'm eating my tweets, but Pogba's only top 10.
I mean, we just talked about Pogba. It'd be better for everybody. Win, leave on good terms. It's like fleeting, sir. It's like I can't think of a good analogy right now, but it's very clear on the card that he wants to go elsewhere, plays football elsewhere. Even if we get a title and like the United's back, baby. Like you said, I don't think he's going to shit can his agent. And there'd be no reason to keep him around unless he does so, because that's just not good. It's like his agent becomes the issue, you know, because he just makes it about him all the time, about shipping Pogba, because you don't think he's signing up for a new deal. He's still going to work for the next deal, right? Which is like when you sell him in the next 2 years. So with Raiola, there's always an end game. And that's why, like, you gotta ship him, hopefully end on a high, and then, you know, on to the 22, sir.
Would love to get Raiola on the podcast. What do you think?
I'm good.
At T Zulski, it wasn't pretty, but we got 3 points. As frustrating as that first goal was, I had confidence allowed we get it done. Fred's growing on me. He may not be the best, but he leaves it all out there.
He does, and he puts in those tackles. Just sometimes he gets to slow down. He's a little bit of that Matic like wisdom, which is just, you know, he just always finds that space. And I think Fred will just keep getting better and better as his confidence grows. Maybe he'll get a goal finally.
At Man United OC, who should we rotate for the match against the team who should not be named and any more signings in January? I think we answered the first part. So who should we add in January, sir?
We signed Ahmad Diallo, sir. Didn't you know that? I mean, I would love to see us sign like a young center back, right? We're going to Phil Jones is gone. You know, Rojo's gone. We have four solid center backs. If you include Twanzebe, it'd be good to have another one in the mix. It'd be good to have another right back. We're not going to do that. We don't have any money, right? Like the Glazers are still getting their dividend at the end of the month. They don't give a shit about this club. They're sucking every dollar out on the way out. So that's why there's no transfers coming in. Cause I don't think we're signing nobody. Who do you think?
I would say, yeah. We're going to try to get rid of some players. I think Jesse's probably going to go. But as far as signing people, clearly the Upamecano, I think I butchered that. Upamecano, sorry, I don't know. That maybe he doesn't join because I can't pronounce his name. Center back is obvious for me. Right wing is obvious for me. I like the optionality with Diallo. You hate to see United struggle a little bit at the back, not have the right winger, and not win the title because it's – I just don't think the Glazers and Ed Woodward understand that if you're in this position, you should strengthen to win because it's so hard to do. It's such a long season, and, you know, there are clear areas we need to improve that we should have improved in the summer. And so it's almost like we're exceeding expectations now. Let's just hope we don't, you know, come back to earth.
I mean, I think a serious club, not to say this club isn't serious, the owners are not serious. They would buy, we can't pronounce it, Upamecano, $42 million buyout clause, like top player. You slot him in right away. He's like your second best center back. You would buy him, and we're not buying anybody because this club's been drained dry. We ain't a dollar left. But there should be, sir. Because like you said, it's like we're so close. You should keep adding gunfire to this arsenal because you need to be able to like keep going. But Ole's going to be tasked to do with what he's got, sir. It looks like it.
Like you coined on the podcast, iron strengthens iron, sir.
At
Rolling Deep 1995, quote, this is absolutely true. I checked my blood pressure yesterday and it was through the roof. I think I know why. Pogba really rescued us there with a moment of magic, but how are we so poor at starting and building a goal cushion? Sigh of relief for now. How are we so bad to start matches? We know we just played huge game against the Scouse Bastards. We got an easy match. It's still difficult to do. Why can't we just get it right from minute one?
Because then this wouldn't be Manchester United. Never do it the easy way, sir. It's always like, you know, by the hair of our Tunisian chin, you know, these title races, this league is so competitive. I wish we could come out a little hotter, but all that matters is we got the 3 points, winning ugly, getting the results. I can't complain too much.
Yeah, we can say that until we don't win. You know what I'm saying? So there's something here that is missing. And, you know, it's a lack of sharpness. RB to not start the right game against a team like that, you lose. You know, it's like Fulham, you can get away with it, but you know, this has been plaguing our team, and it's the back line, dude. It's the back line switching off. It's got to be improved. I just hope that we don't get complacent by always solving it late.
No, because you know what? It's you can do it against the Fulhams, you can do it against the Sheffields, but it's a lot harder to go down against City and claw it back. Go down against the Scousers and claw it back. So we do have to get that right. I think it's a bit of mentality. You know, as the team gets more seasoned, more experience, they'll know you can't do that shit because you can't keep, you know, climbing out of these holes that you're digging for yourself.
At Chris Cardona 12, quote, this was a test to show if we are for real or for not. And in my opinion, we passed. Keep up the consistency. Keep rotating players. I think we seriously have a chance. That is a good point. Three changes coming in. We still got away with it. And it was only one really bad play to start the match. You just would love to just hit 2-0, get the clean sheet. But again, I think it's also we rise and fall to our competition. That's why every game is so difficult. That's why I need to call my doctor ASAP. At you, Boston on Twitter, quote, margins are with us today, but we deserve to win. What a goal from Paul. Ole's definitely at the wheel. Can't decide whether Ole should play the kids on Sunday, but I'm leaning in that direction. Again, I think Ollie's going to go for it, sir. I want to beat him. I want to beat him.
No, I always want to beat the Scousers, especially love to see Klopp lose. But I want to play the kids because I think he always does this. He doesn't rotate enough going to these cup matches. And then we look a little flat when he should play a team that's a little hotter. Play Dan James. He's got legs to, you know, he's got legs for days. He hasn't played in a couple weeks. Same with Donnie. I'm sure he's ready for a run out. Same with Twanzabe. So Fergie would rotate more, sir. And I think these cup matches are a great opportunity to do so because you need those boys getting minutes, because if Pogba gets injured, God forbid Bruno gets injured, you're going to need Donny to play every match all of a sudden. So it's like he needs to get up for it. And we just, this is when you rotate. You rotate the FA Cup, you rotate the Europa League, and you got to do it.
Sir, you need more stands for those sandbags. Last tweet here at Jamal Mota, quote, sirs, top of the table again, flying high. A great game to watch. Cavani's so hungry, and Pogba's finish was superb. Should have won by more. Need to improve our finishing, but sirs, it feels great. Hashtag lasers out. Great one to end on, and that's a good point. We should have scored more, too. So, like, the 2-1 might retroactively feel tighter than it was. Fulham were in it, though. You know, that's the one thing. They were in it, and credit to that Pogba goal. Those fine margins in a tower race. Paul Pogba pulling out of his locker to get us all 3 points, and huge 3 points.
I mean, think about if you looked from today back to the beginning of December, sir, since we got dropped out by RB, it's like how many fine margin games there were, how many games were we won ugly, how many hold, last 10 minutes, and there are chances, and it went close.
Every single one.
Sir, you talk about no ads at the beginning of the pod, I think a blood pressure ad at the beginning of the pod might be warranted. We might make an exception just because we might be on it by the end of the season. 34, 35-year-olds just like blood pressured up, dying over here.
That's it. That's the podcast. We appreciate everyone tunes in, listens to American Red Devils week in, week out. It's twice a week these days. I mean, we're grinding out the podcast. Love it. Hanging on tight with these tight wins for Manchester United, but still top of the table. Tell everyone to go pound sand that you know that's a fan of a different club, because when Manchester United is top, there's not much better than that, sir, especially with all the haters, especially with everyone thinking that we couldn't do it. Also, we're doing the pod remote. We're trying to get as many in as possible, so we can't always do it in person. We know there's a delta in the audio quality, so thank you. Alex is running the soundboard, so I have no idea how it's going to come out. What do you think, sir?
Oh, shit. I haven't been recording the whole time. Just kidding. Yeah, sir. I'm not as good as you. It might not be as good. I apologize in advance. It's because the pod never sleeps. Like you said, it's a game every 3-4 days, and we do it for the love of the game, baby. And after every pod, after every game, there's a pod, no matter what. Rain or shine, yeah. Wedding, kid, pandemic. We make it, baby.
Yeah, and if you like the podcast, you can support us on Patreon. We are independent fan content, and we want to be supported directly by you, the fans. So check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We think that's the best way for you guys to support us. You check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We got the blog, we got the merch, we got everything. iTunes reviews, 5 stars go a long way. What a season, sir. It feels like it's been 5-1. We're fighting, enjoying the top of the table, but then nervous about the next match. What a time to be a United fan. What a time to follow this team.
I mean, seriously, speaking of which, can I get a quick run through the top downloads this week, sir? Speaking of top of the table, we got a new entry, number one. Dublin, Ireland, back at the top. Woo! Appreciate ya. Number two, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate the Shireton. Chicago, Illinois. Middleton, Ohio. Waltham, Massachusetts, Greenwich, Connecticut, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Cincinnati, Ohio, Wembley, UK, and last but not least, Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out, sir. American Red Devils, the Red Devils, United is top of the table, halfway through the season, everything left to play for. Feeling fine.
Sir, it's I'll tell you what, the air's a little fresher. Even the water's tasting better over here in California when Manchester United are top of the table. It's like someone texts you some talking smack, you just text them the table. That's it. You don't have to say anything. You just text them the table. It's so simple. It's just, there it is. There it is. I couldn't believe it. This season, it's just like one of those things as a fan. Enjoy it while we got it, sir. It's going to be a hell of a race. You never know what's going to happen. But how good does it feel?
Always at the wheel. Oh, we're
football.